If you're hearing this, we thank you for pressing play on another edition of It's a Stream of Life podcast with Brandon and Lauren, chronicling life in the peak entertainment era. Welcome to another week of It's a Stream of Life podcast with Brandon and Lauren. We are almost done with the month of April, which is crazy. We just did our preview for the next 3 months, and April's already kind of out the door as we enter warmer weather, but wetter weather as well. It's kind of crazy. But with April comes another sports season. We've started the NBA playoffs. The Pacers play tonight. They should be playing pretty soon.
Right now. Yeah, they play at 7, so it should be coming on soon. I don't know. I don't have high expectations. I want them to do well, but this is not the year they make it to the finals or anything like that. So
yeah, I'm happy to see them there. I'm glad they made it. And
exactly.
It's a good jumping, like a launching point for them for the future, I think. Definitely.
And it's been, what did they say? I think since 2020 is the last time they made it. So they spent a good good time away. So it's good that they're there.
Yeah. And it seems like things aren't going as expected generally. We have, the Lakers and Nuggets. I think people are expecting the Lakers to lose just because other than having LeBron, people don't have confidence in that coach. And it kind of showed as the Lakers sort of led that first half, the second half was a totally different story. And LeBron he's not old enough to where he can carry a team anymore. Like, he has to have help.
Supporting cast. Yeah.
And then the Clippers surprised everyone beating the Mavs, which is supposed to be sort of like a front runner, I would think, with Kyrie and Luka. One of them. Yeah, Luka. Yeah, I was right.
Yeah.
So that was surprising. Boston, I mean, I don't think the Heat have what it takes to beat them. They're just too good.
Without Jimmy Butler, yeah.
Yeah, he got injured somewhere in there. And the same with Philly and New York. I'm actually rooting for New York. I like their squad. I like Teeves as a coach. I think they could surprise people. But I think the biggest thing is just realizing the Warriors aren't there for the first time in 13 years, which is crazy.
But for the Pacers, I think this is obviously a good opportunity for them. And for a lot of people that don't watch the Pacers play, for a chance to see them and see what they're all about. So hopefully they do well.
Right. I'll be rooting for them, definitely.
Yeah.
And going from one competition to the other, we've gotten some heated rap beef all of a sudden.
Oh my goodness,
Just not out of nowhere, but it feels sort of like out of nowhere, because for the most part, we haven't heard much from the male rap world within the last few years. It's all been sort of female-focused, Cardi, Nicki, Megan, all the girls kind of on the rise.
Right.
And now we have sort of veterans coming at each other's neck. It sort of all started with Kendrick's track on the Future and Metro Boomin album. The song like that with Kendrick's verse kind of calling out the big three, which are allegedly him, J. Cole, and Drake. You had Cole follow up with addressing the verse and then him reneging and sort of apologizing, which was a different take for sure. And then Drake finally responding with push-ups, which is now on streaming. But then everyone else was coming for Drake and it just became something totally different. So
yeah, and it's silly, man, because a lot of these dudes are close to 40, if not there already. And it's like, what? Stop beefing. Because then, like I said, Rick Ross was in it at some point. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how did you get in this? And
he just saw an opportunity to go at Drake, I guess, which who knew they fell out? I don't keep up with that.
I didn't. Yeah.
And then it leads to, I guess, Chris Brown and Quavo having beef over something that happened years ago. It's just very, it's getting weird.
Right. It's a little nuts.
Yeah. I don't know what the purpose of it is. Maybe it's all a ploy to sell records, but it just feels kind of inauthentic. I don't know. And then finally, the biggest thing within the last few weeks was we lost the infamous NFL All-Star movie legend and acquitted murderer, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
He was 76 and died of cancer. I believe he had pancreatic cancer, actually.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, yeah.
And that was, of course, an interesting time in the interwebs where you have, on one hand, people being somewhat sympathetic and just sort of acknowledging his complicated profile.
Exactly.
And then others just sort of like downright dragging him, which, I mean, you can feel any way you want, honestly. He was sort of like a very controversial figure, just giving the night and day that his life sort of took at one right. point. And mainly it just brought back up the excellent documentary that sort of tracked sort of like his progress from, you know, USC standout Heisman Trophy superstar to this criminalized figure who sort of embraced that villain archetype for the rest of his life, yeah. which was very weird. But yeah, it unfortunately yeah. you don't want to see anyone go through that, but he was not a cherished individual.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was strange because on Twitter, obviously it got a lot of fanfare because of who he was. People were making jokes and everything, but on television, be it CNN or any news station, it was kind of just on the ticker. Nobody really stopped to
right.
to be like, oh, OJ died. Because, I mean, how do you speak about him? You know what I mean? Like you said, you called him infamous. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and he sort of went out quietly. He was cremated, and there was no public. I mean, why would he have a public ceremony? Like, what?
Right.
Who was going to show
right.
up? Exactly. He was cremated, and that was that. And, yeah, he left as he came.
Exactly.
So, condolences, of course, to his family. But I did see where the Goldman and Brown families are going to seek the money he owes them from his estate. I don't believe he ever paid the civil suit.
No, I saw that as well. Yeah, and he owed them lots. And he just didn't even do it.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. Because, yeah, no one had really thought of him in a while. And then that, right. So... Definitely a moment in time of the 90s that sort of changed the way you looked at athletes. And now it's very common to acknowledge that these superstars, they're human and there can be a dark right. side to sports. We've seen it now more common with, you know, Aaron Hernandez and others. And many people suspect he has CTE just yeah. the way... The
yeah,
violence,
yeah, I remember
the
that.
Violence against women, the way he acted afterwards, just the bold sort of ego. So, yeah, they'll never know because they cremate him. So,
yeah, interesting,
very much so. But enough of the news. Let's go ahead and get into our feature presentation.
All right.
So this week we're bringing back, I want you to write a theme, one of our various features here, where we discuss TV and film that cover a common subject matter. And this time around, we're centering on the season of spring. So sort of content that has a feel-good feeling, makes you remind you of spring, and sort of concentrates on themes of growth, rebirth, or reincarnation, just a person's change to right. something better. Since spring is all about sort of like things coming back to life from the winter and getting ready for summer. So let's go ahead and start with the films. That seemed to be better to come up
yeah.
with
honestly,
things on that side.
I struggle so much oh god, finding shows. I was like, oh, now that I've said this, hold on a second, let me think of some. But I was able to find like a few that I think,
yeah. But movies was definitely not better. So, my first one for movies, and it came immediately to my head once I reread The Rebirth and Change and things. Yeah. I love this movie. I don't watch it a lot, but I've always enjoyed it. It is 28 Days with Sandra Bullock. And basically she plays a woman who is an alcoholic, and she ends up going to rehab. And it's like a 28-day sort of thing she's sentenced to after, I think, a DUI or something like that. I just remember really loving that movie, just seeing sort of the truth about where substance misuse actually comes from. It's not just because it, most of the time, not because someone just wants to do it, but there's a root to that behavior and the trauma. And it's sort of like a dramedy. There's comedic portions of it, and you see other people struggling, but it's a standout for me thinking of that theme. So that's definitely a movie I kind of forgot about, but once I remembered it, I was like, oh yeah, I really love that movie. And I think it's one of Sandra's better roles, definitely.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I picked the film Big Fish, and this is maybe my favorite movie, and this stars Ewan McGregor, and it stars Ewan McGregor, but what is his name? Billy Crudup is kind of who you stay with. And in it, Billy Crudup's father, who's played by Albert Finney, who I think has passed now. I'm not sure. I need to – let me see for sure. Yeah, he passed away 2019. Billy Crudup's character lives in France with his wife, who is Marion Cotillard, who in this movie you don't even recognize her. She's very young and not who she is now. But he's kind of distant from his dad. His dad always seemed like a bigger-than-life character, but he never understood or believed his stories. But he's called back home because his father is sick and dying. And as he takes care of his father in like his final days, his father starts to tell all these stories. And as he's telling his stories, his son begins to loosen up and change, and he kind of gives into like the art of storytelling. He goes along with it. And you kind of see this really hardened, closed off character who's very structured and strict loosen up and become like his father in a way. And it's really interesting to watch. And it's such a good movie, man. It's I guess you could say fantasy. There's comedy elements, and Ewan McGregor plays Albert Finney's character as a young man, and Jessica Lange is in it. And yeah, it's just that change really in his son, how he goes from being so wound up and like, oh, my dad's a jokester, he's, don't believe him, don't listen to him, to just, you know, changing, believing the stories, even kind of finishing the story himself at one point. So yeah, I've always enjoyed that movie. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I had a second one. It's actually a rather recent movie, Minari. This was Oscar nominated film starring Steven Yeun from a few years back. And it's honestly just a immigrant story, but within that, you know, just the change that they experience coming from their Korean culture to America, and semi-autobiographical based on the director's actual life. When he was young, his father moved them to like the Midwest rural area to sort of start this life, to become farmers, to sort of not actually assimilate, but try to become more American. And while it's a drama, there's some funny elements. There is some mostly sad elements too, because this change, as we all know, change is not easy. It's not meant to be comfortable.
Exactly.
And you see how this shift sort of affects not only the family, but the relationship between the husband and wife. And this was a starring opportunity for Yoon Young-jun, who wound up winning the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for a portrayal as the grandmother. But it's definitely a feel-good movie, a story that's definitely not told enough in American cinema.
Yeah.
And it just makes you thankful for it. It's sort of, quote-unquote, the American dream, and everyone's American dream looks different, and I think I appreciate it more for that aspect. Just a beautiful family film.
Yeah. So wait, so how many films did you have all together? Because I just stuck with three, just to keep it.
Yeah, I just have three.
Okay, all right. So yeah. Then my second one is one that we both know of, and I picked Moonlight. And I thought this film is a great film that shows, you know, kind mm-hmm. of, what's the word I'm going to say? Personal growth, and a movie about acceptance, and just how things and how you change over time. So if you don't know, Moonlight is a story of a young man who's growing up in the projects. I think he's in Miami, South Florida, and mm-hmm. Just tracks his life from a young boy to a teenager to a grown man. And in this story, you see that he's queer, which obviously isn't a storyline we get a lot, but it's so much more than that. You know, as you see Chiron, the character's name, grow, you see him gain confidence. He's still the shy man that he was, or shy boy that he was, but he's, you know, he speaks up for himself. He's got a little bit more swagger to him as he goes through the years. And it's just a really good film to show just growth, you know, and it's one of those films that you have to see it for yourself to really grasp the, I think the intensity of it. It's a mm-hmm. great movie.
Definitely. And then for my last one, I kind of had a few to choose from, but I'm settling on one of my favorite movies of all time, actually. It's Life as a House. This actually came out in 2001 and stars Kevin Kline as a father who decides to tear his house down and rebuild it. Oh, wow. And through this process, he kind of rekindles a relationship with an estranged son. And you see the effects of this sort of process of rebuilding a home on the neighbors and friends and all he interacts with. Right. And spoiler alert, it came out 2001. I'm going to spoil it. Near the end of the film, you find out that Klein's character is actually dying of some type of disease. So this is sort of like his, sort of like a last sort of atonement of some sorts.
Exactly.
But it's a beautiful film. Other cast includes Kristen Scott Thomas, a young Hayden Christensen. He was probably like a teenager here. Gina Malone. It was a really good movie. I think my friend put me on it randomly because he was a big movie buff. But yeah, it's all about sort of a man sort of coming to terms with not only his mortality, but what he hopes his life would be for others. It's a really good movie.
That's good. I'll have to check that one out. My last one was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And this stars Ben Stiller, and he is kind of a guy that works an office job, and then he gets laid off. And kind of similar to the other characters I talked about, he's somebody who's kind of stiff and routine, but then after he gets laid off, he gets this inspiration to just kind of travel the world, and he starts running into people, and he has this obsession with the photo, and he goes to find information about this photo that takes him around the world. He runs into different people and he has to go through different scenarios, and it's a really good movie, I think, that shows that displays the growth of a character and kind of breaking out of their shell, because in it he's you know, scared and afraid of everything, but he overcomes that through just being like, you know, I gotta do it, this is what I want to do, I want to reach this goal and find out more about this picture that he's obsessed with. So it's a really good movie. When did it come out? I'm not sure for when that came out, but it's 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a little while now.
Yeah, I was about to say, that didn't come out too long ago, but no. Right. 2013.
Right.
Nearly a decade ago.
So.
Wow.
But yeah, it was a very good film, and Kristen Wiig's in it. I think Sean Penn is in it as well, and there's some other people kind of tossed in there, but yeah, it's a good movie.
Okay. And now we'll transition to TV, which was a little more...
Yeah.
Laborious. My first one, because when I thought of spring, I thought of like not only feel good, but like sort of coming of age and things sort of take in to sort of just feel at peace with. And my first one is Craig of the Creek.
Yes.
This is an anime series on Cartoon Network, and it's just about, you know, this little black boy who's growing up with his two friends, and like the place to be is the creek, and that's where they their imagination sort of runs wild, and it's where they experience sort of life lessons, and it's just a really feel good show. There's so much good representation in it, and it's another example of how animation isn't just for kids. Like anyone at a certain age can watch this and relate and enjoy it, and it just feels good. So yeah, Craig of the Creek was the first thing that came to mind for me.
I catch a show every once in a while, and there's some times where it feels like I'm watching a story about my life, because like I used to play outside in the woods with my friends, and it was this place to be, and some of the jokes in there are hilarious, man. Like there's an episode where his mom tells him to put on his hat before he goes out in the cold, and he ends up losing his hat and he gets sick. And I was like, oh, that's Debbie to a T. Cause she used to be like, put your hat and your glove inside your coat arm when you get done. And this is what she tells Craig to do. And he doesn't do it and he loses it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. Like that's hilarious.
Yeah. It's so relatable.
Yeah. But it's funny you picked that, because I went the same route too, kind of coming of age. And I picked the Netflix show Dairy Girls, which I think is one of the funniest shows that Netflix has put money behind. It is absolutely hilarious. And it details a story about a group of four or five girls who were in Northern Ireland during the Troubles, and kind of like in the early 90s and everything. And despite everything that's going on around them, they, you know, are still, you know, going out, trying to meet boys, having fun and all this. And you see how they grow as people as this conflict continues to be a interference in their life as well. But it's a really good show. And I just encourage everybody to watch it, because the episodes are 30 minutes. And I think altogether it's like 18 episodes. But it is so good. It's funny.
Yeah, I've heard great things about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good show.
Yeah, it's so good.
My second one, I chose this one because, again, feel good. And where it's set, it seems like it's always spring because the weather is warm and whatnot. And it's the Golden Girls. Like, You just, it's just a feel-good show. It's funny. It was smart. It holds up very well all these years later. And you just watch it, and there's lessons hidden there in certain episodes, but it's just a feel-good show about friendship and actually just life growing older and things you don't really think about as you age and what you will eventually face as you mature. It's like a different type of coming of age for adults somewhat.
Yeah.
That was my other pick.
Okay. And then, my other one was a show I watched just randomly, but it was Superstore with American Ferrera. Okay. And in terms of growth and renewal and everything, I thought this was a great show because it really captured like a superstore and working anywhere, I think. Like my first job I would count was working in a library, and you get people from different walks of life, different ages doing different things, different levels of education. And you see that in this. And I think you see a lot of growth in two characters. Ben Feldman's character, Jonah, is college educated, Ivy League, working at a grocery store. America Ferrera's character is just a normal working class woman who had a child who took her job at a grocery store. But through it, she grows up to go, you know, to the corporate ranks, and Jonah grows as well. But Jonah comes in much more elitist, like, you know, oh, you know, I went here, I did this. And as he goes through, he grows into just part of the gang. He's just one like everybody else. And it's a really good show. Like you said, for your other shows, very feel good, very easy to watch. And I think it lasted, I want to say, 3 or 4 seasons or maybe even longer than that.
It had a pretty good shelf life. I started watching it and it just got lost in the shuffle of broadcast.
Exactly.
And
that was
now, I actually wanted to tune in because of America Ferrera being in it and sort of like the mockumentary type of style,
but it ended up being very funny. A lot of good characters. I don't know how it did in terms of Emmys, but I'm sure it was nominated. It was definitely one of those types of shows.
Mm-hmm. And then I didn't really have a third one, but you mentioning Superstore, I did think instantly Ugly Betty, just because, you know, the changes a lot of those characters go through, especially Betty. You know, the dream she has to become a journalist, this opportunity she gets, the way that industry looks at her, and just sort of like the representation that laid out, and her transformation throughout that. And the transformation of other characters, especially, I can't remember his name, but the guy who played her boss, like, the way he acted this playboy, didn't really care about the business, and eventually he becomes sort of like this caring person. So that, yeah, that was would have been like a hypothetical third.
Yeah, and my third was kind of, I thought about talking about, but I talked about the, I thought about The Good Place, which is kind of in the same story. A lot of people, well, you know, they're in the afterlife, and you see a lot of change through all of those characters, and I really enjoyed that show, and it did really well. It had a lot of fans, so.
Yeah, it was a big show for NBC. Yeah. All right, that wraps our feature presentation on our spring theme. Now we're going to transition to our final segment, our streams of the week. So there's a lot, been a lot going on, as always, and as we get into spring, more shows are just sort of like dropping left and right.
Right.
I did get to finish two shows. I watched Netflix's Ripley, with Andrew Scott.
Okay.
I wasn't never seen the movie with Matt Damon, but I kind of knew the premise. I didn't realize these were based on a series of books either. So that's another interesting part. I never knew that was the origin. But the series is pretty decent. I did feel it could have just been a movie, given that sort of the original sort of medium we know the story as.
Right.
But as a series, it does pretty well. It does take a while to get going, so you want to wait till that third episode. But it's a pretty good, solid performance from Scott, and supporting character. It's there's humor in it, but it is definitely dark given the subject matter. If you're not familiar with the story of Tom Ripley, basically a con man who has this opportunity kind of fall in his lap to go overseas to convince a friend or associate that his family wants him to come home. And instead of doing that, he decides to try to plan a bigger con. And I think it was good in sort of displaying how Tom, who started basically just sort of kind of insurance fraud to get checks and stuff like that, to the inevitably impersonating another person, that he doesn't know what he's doing. He sort of like,
just going
making with, it up,
yeah,
yeah, making it up as he goes, which was, I think, a good point, good part to point out. And there's other people in it. I can't really think of a name. The other biggest name is Dakota Fanning, who plays the wife of the friend he's supposed to convince to come back. But yeah, very interesting. And there's a possibility there could be a second season because I guess the books sort of carry on his sort of cons in a way. So we'll see what happens, how it performs, and what Netflix decides to do. But overall, I would give it a solid B.
Okay. That's good.
And then I finished The Offer from Detroit on BET Plus. Great show. And they definitely have an opportunity to do a second season to continue her sort of investigating this mystery. I really hope, I highly doubt it, but I really hope this gets some Emmy love, at least for sort of like comedy writing or lead comedy actress performance, because it's just so good.
Yeah.
It just kind of came out of nowhere and just blew me away. Basically, it's about a woman who's going through a divorce, school teacher who goes on a date with a guy she met on Tinder, and has a blast. They're ready to arrange their third date, and he ghosts her. And she's sort of like in this sort of desperate state of divorce and sort of like losing her identity and whatnot. She finds out that he hasn't ghosted her. He's actually missing. So she goes on this adventure of self-discovery to sort of find him. It's all these sort of different genres packed in, but it's done so well. There's, of course, comedy. There's like the true crime element, but it's at the core, it's really a great story about a woman trying to figure out who she is outside of the identifier that she's been living with so far. You know, school teacher, wife, it's really good meaty stuff to think about.
That's good.
There's only 8 episodes in the whole season, and the episode 1 is free on YouTube if you look it up. So okay. I think it's a way to get people interested. But it's solid. I really enjoyed it. I give it the A. Like, it's really good. All right, we'll transition to things we are watching. We both tapped into HBO's The Sympathizer. What were your thoughts on this sort of historical piece?
It was interesting. I think for me, it made me want to go back and maybe read the book, because I think there was the book came out in, I would say, 2015 is what I read. But it was decent. It also took me a little bit to kind of get into the swing of how it was going to go. This narrator was also kind of like, okay, got to pay attention to that and pay attention to this. And of course, they're speaking in different languages. And then once I got, understanding of how it was going to flow and the parts everybody played, then I was like, okay, now I'm ready. But overall, I thought it was really good. Kind of pulled you in, especially as it got towards the end, and, you know, not to spoil anything, but those last, I wouldn't say 10 minutes were very intense. And I was like, wow, that's insane. So, and to know that, you know, that's somewhat based on true events is very, very kind of moving. So, I enjoyed it a lot. It was good. I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, same here. I really enjoyed it. I like the way they're setting it up, sort of like a recollection from the narrator's point of view.
Right.
And you're right. You have to pay attention because they're speaking a different language, and the way they're portraying it, he's a spy for North Vietnam, who's in South Vietnam. And he also had like this allegiance with America, which is represented by Robert Downey Jr. So there's a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
But they do come together very well by the end, and you recognize that he's sort of getting caught up, essentially. I am going to listen to the podcast because I need some more like historical context just to make sure I'm following things accurately.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the first episode.
Yeah, I thought it was very good as well.
Yeah, and I didn't realize the, I guess, showrunner or creator of the show was director of Oh Boy. So they have like this esteemed... Oh, wow. Yeah, let me make sure I say this right. What's his name? Yeah, Park Chan-wook is sort of like the showrunner for this series. So, yeah, I've read somewhere where they didn't want to take either side particularly of the war, but just have you sort of immerse and see how people just react to being the situations and how things play out. Episode 2 premieres today, which is Sunday, which each new episode premieres. I'm interested to see where it goes next.
Yeah, because it seems like now he's headed to the U.S. So to see how, you know, that would be very interesting. See how Vietnamese people were treated during the Vietnam War back here in the States. So, yeah, that could be very interesting.
Right, because for them, they call it the American War. So it's something totally different. Yeah, yeah. And then you got into one of the new true crime series, another historical piece, Under the Bridge from Hulu. How is that going?
It's very good so far. Just 2 episodes, and it's 1 episode a week every Wednesday, I believe, because the next one is the 24th. So yes, Wednesday. And it's good, man. It stars Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone as the main two characters, and then there's just a cast of other characters throughout. And takes place in Victoria. Oh, I should have looked up where it was in Canada. It is in Canada, though. And the story follows a journalist and a cop, Lily Gladstone and Riley Keough. Riley Keough is a journalist. Lily Gladstone is a cop, who eventually come together to solve this crime that was committed against a young teenage girl. And this is based on an actual event that happened in this city. And it's good. It's intense. It's got lighter moments, but through two episodes, you know, you're already smack dab in the middle of the story. You know who did it. You know what's going on. And now they just have to kind of, I guess, go through the process. But it's definitely worth a watch. I think everybody should check it out. And it kind of hits on a lot of things. It hits on, obviously, racism. There's a bit of religion. There's, how would you say it? Some of the girls live in a foster home. And that's a big part of this community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And kind of, you know, I wouldn't say broken families is another big part. And so, yeah, it's really good. I'm not sure how many episodes there are all together, but like I said, it's once a week. So I'll definitely be tuning again on Wednesday.
Okay. And that group home angle is really interesting, because we don't, as a society, really talk about how traumatic foster care is kids that go through the system. Like, we hear folks get adopted and all that, but they don't really talk about the journey and actually what happens. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's very good, though.
Okay. I definitely want that's on my list. Okay. I've enjoyed quite a few things here. I'm catching up on CBS's Elsbeth, starring Carrie Preston, from Robert and Michelle King. This is a spinoff of The Good Wife and The Good Fight. She played, I guess, a defense attorney in those shows. And she's sort of like eccentric, kind of quirky.
Right.
And she moves from Chicago to New York, and she's basically a police to police. So she's supposed to be there to monitor this specific precinct that's, I guess, under investigation for maybe possible corruption, things of that nature. But she eventually helps them solve crime. So it moves pretty much like Columbo. Like, each episode opens with the crime, the murder, so you know exactly who did it. And then you watch Elsbeth put the pieces together and solve it at the end. So it's definitely a throwback to sort of like Columbo, even Poker Face, which came out, you know, a few years ago or last year, sort of that feeling. And then the overarching narrative is whether the captain, who's played by Wendell Pierce, is up to no good as the police chief. It has great guest stars. The second episode had Jane Krasinski. Episode 4 had Retta. Episode 5 has Blair Underwood. So, like, each murderer is like a guest star. So
that's kind of cool. Yeah.
And it's already been renewed for a second season. So.
Yeah, people are definitely
tuning in. It's something light you can watch and kind of follow along, just like any other procedural. And then the best two television shows on TV right now, FX's Shogun. If the Emmys ignore this show, because it's historic and Asian, mostly Asian cast, we're going to riot. Because the show is just exceptional. This past week, we had the penultimate episode 9. I have no idea what the finale is going to be like, because it's just insane. It's people are comparing it to Game of Thrones, because it deals with a lot of politics allies and war and things of that nature. But it's so good. If you're not unfamiliar with the series, it's set in 1600 Japan, during a time where the current heir is too young to rule. He's about, I don't know, like 12 years old or something. So the Council of Regents, 5 lords, have agreed to rule together until he comes of age. But one lord is seeking to not do that. He wants to expel another lord for the throne. So
yeah,
it's 9 episodes of scheming and learning this culture, and through all this turmoil in Japan, a foreigner comes, Englishman, and he kind of stirs the pot even more. Great performances, great writing, and they made a point to make sure that everything was like culturally and historically accurate. So yeah, definitely, if you're in it, stick with it. It's great. And there should be Emmys coming for a lot of the people involved in this series.
I need to get back into it. Like I said, I've watched the first 2 episodes and then just kind of fell off. But
yeah, you'll love it. And it'll probably be better watching back to back, because week to week is so frustrating, because you want to know what's happening right now. And something completely opposite of that, X-Men 97 on Disney Plus is probably the best thing Marvel's done since Endgame. We know this current phase, whatever they call it, has been like ebbing and flowing from project to project. This one sticks to landing. It's not just, they're not just leaning on nostalgia, since it's a continuation of the 90s animated series, but they've actually refreshed it with stories that are relevant to today. The writing is just exceptional. Episode 5 was the sort of like big episode to sort of prove that this series is doing something totally different. You probably heard a lot about it. It sort of reviews a climactic event in the comics. I think it's the first time it's actually been brought to screen and people see it happening in real time. But there's 10 episodes altogether. This week will be episode 7. And then, it should wrap up sometime in May. But new episodes drop every Wednesday on Disney Plus. Really fun. Really good. Definitely get into it. And then we'll transition to what we want to watch. There's a lot coming this week. I already mentioned I want to tap into Under the Bridge.
Yes.
I randomly found out that the Spiderwick Chronicles features an all-black family as the main characters. So I did not realize Roku was free. So I've signed up for that so I can tune in.
Okay.
I don't really know what it's about. I guess it's a fantasy show. There's a movie a few years back, but I didn't see
it.
Yeah,
I was about to say, I remember that. I remember hearing about it, but yeah, I'm not even sure what it is either.
So basically, I think it's about a family that moves to the Midwest, to a new estate, and they will find out that there's like a different world there or something. I don't know. It wanted to be like Harry Potter, because it's based on on novels or whatever.
Oh, okay.
The original movie star, Freddie Highmore, Seth Rogen, Nick Nolte. But this series stars Christian Slater, and then some black people I recognize, but I don't know their names. But I will be tuning in, because I did not realize it featured a prominent black cast. Like, I had no idea. So that kind of changed my perspective on it.
Well, that should be interesting.
Yeah, for real. And then I want to get into this Gerald Carmichael show on HBO. And we might make it a discussion topic later. Yeah. Just because, like, it's rare to have, you know, black queer men at the forefront of any content on TV, despite sort of like the heroin things I've heard about. I've heard that it's sort of hard to watch, but also that it's worth watching just because we don't really get to see this often. So
that's exactly what I've heard. Is that while it's one of those things, I won't say people are saying that they hate watch it, but it's almost a thing of it's so much that you can't stop watching it. And more people, they're kind of, what I have heard a lot is obviously they're learning a lot about Jared Carmichael, and they're also learning that they may not like him as a person from watching right. the show. Yeah.
Right. Because the small reviews I've heard about it have been on like other people's podcasts saying they tuned in. Yeah. For instance, Kit Fury on The Read was talking about it, and he was actually enjoying it because of how vulnerable Jared seems to be, like how much personal information he's sharing.
Right, right.
To a point, he did say like the whole race play thing it's not that
what it comes off of, yeah.
Right, right. The stuff we saw in the trailer, the stuff that's been active on social media, plays a minor part in the series. But he did say, like, the interaction he has with his parents, especially his mother, who I guess had a difficult time accepting him coming out. Those things are kind of hard to watch because he's downright kind of cruel to his parents, allegedly. So I just want to see what's happening. But yeah, he's a sex addict, and that kind of played into his relationship with this white guy, and then the whole Tyler the Creator thing that people saw. Like, it's just a lot going on. So yeah,
there's a lot.
And then Prime Video's Them, The Scare comes out the 25th. I'm interested just because it seems to be exploring horror differently. Like the first season was like racial horror, like set in California, the racism people experience, all that stuff. So people were kind of, they're like, okay, that's too much. This one is exploring a rash of murders that might be connected to some sort of supernatural entity, and the murder just may be black, which, as someone who enjoys or is a fan of true crime, I just like seeing the diversity of, like, black people for the longest time, as much as we were depicted as dangerous and stuff, they just didn't think black people could be serial killers because they didn't think we were smart enough.
Yeah.
And so many black victims failed to get justice because of that sort of thinking.
Right.
And I'm
right.
happy we're seeing sort of this depicted, even though it's fictional, I'm happy to see this sort of like diversity within black storytelling. So I'm excited for that. And then I want to see Challengers, hopefully this weekend with Zendaya. I've heard great things about it. And then Late Night with the Devil is on Shudder, so I want to check that out. Okay. I doubt if all this happens in the next right, right. weeks, but I'm going to be optimistic about it.
Right, right. For me, it's sticking with two that I had last week. I didn't even get started on. But it's Ripley, which you spoke about. And hold on, I'm going to take a time out here to say that the Pacers are down by 20 points.
Huh? Huh. Ooh. What quarter already. Is it?
It's the second quarter. There's 8 minutes left till halftime. Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
anyway. They're gonna have
to... Okay, okay.
Like I said, Ripley, I want to get into in Scoop as well. And there was something else. I still need to watch Anatomy of a Fall, and it starts tonight, I believe. The part two of The Jinx. Did you watch that HBO? Yeah.
I didn't watch part one because I kind of already knew about it, but
right.
Yeah, I forgot they were even doing a part two.
So the second part, I believe, starts tonight, and I'm just curious as to what they can say. One, he's dead. Two, we know he did it. Like, we got kind of a confession on him, so I don't know what comes next, but I'll peep that and see what goes and report back. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. We thank you for tuning in this episode of It's a Stream of Life podcast with Brendan and Lauren. You can follow us on our socials over at Twitter and Instagram. And be tuned in for our next episode where we'll probably talk about these shows we just mentioned. Yeah. Hopefully, Jared Carmichael's on the agenda because that would be a good deep dive to sort of dissect the many identities and layers within something, a project right. like that. So until then, keep on streaming.
Peace.